today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Holiday song countdown 2, 9, 8, 7.
All right, it's day 2 of Holiday Song Countdown 2 here on Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And we hope everyone's holidays are bright. And let me just recap. If you didn't listen yesterday, well, you probably should go back and do that. They're all available. All the episodes are available to you free of charge. But let me just recap here. We did a holiday song poll. People could vote for up to 10 songs. Patrick did all the math. So if there's, you know, any disputes about voting integrity, you can you can file the lawsuit against Patrick Foster.
Deadline.
We excluded the songs that made the top 10 last year, so I guess we will call this the second 10. Although really it's 12, because as you heard yesterday, we had a three-way tie for 10th place. So it's like the 12 songs of Christmas, I guess you would say, right? Okay.
Yes, perfect.
All right. And we have listeners here on Zoom who will comment, bring their comments on the various songs that we feature. So should we just go right to number 9?
Yeah, let's.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own. More than you could ever know. Make my wish come.
Okay, there we go. You know, it had to come up at some point, right? Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You. I'll give other people a chance here to speak to this. I know this song is also one that has a lot of detractors. I think that's mostly because you just hear it so much, right? But I will say, I think it's a jam, and it makes me happy. And one of the things I really, really like about the song a lot, besides just being sort of a well-written pop song, is that it reminds me of that Phil Spector Christmas album sound, right? It has that sort of feel to it. And I appreciate that a lot. And your thoughts, Patrick?
I concur. It's got that galloping kind of big sleigh bells kind of feel to it. She does an amazing job singing it. Certainly, it has become unavoidable now that, you know, Christmas is around. But I think it's great. I really have been able to, whenever I get oversaturated with it, you know, step away and find something else. And it hasn't really lost its appeal for me. So I think it's really good. I don't know if Niklas is here, but he's going to be very happy, because I know this one came in at the top of his ballot, and he was going to put a lot of Swedish Christmas songs in his poll next year if Mariah didn't make it. So we're glad that she did.
Niklas, do you have any comments?
Yeah, I did put this one in my as the top song, and then I put 9 Swedish Christmas songs after that. So those won't make the list. So I'm happy this one did. And I know it's been played to death, but I love it. As you said, Jim, it's a gem. I just love it. It's a great pop song.
Nicholas, can you send me that playlist of the Swedish Christmas songs? I would love to hear those sometime.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
All right.
Do that.
This song, by the way, All I Want for Christmas Is You, this came out in 1994, so it's been with us for, what is that, almost 30 years now. And I also think it's the rare case of a, I guess you'd still call it relatively recent song, becoming just, you know, a huge, like, classic in the Christmas canon, right? You know, most of them date back earlier than that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly right. And it's interesting. I know that other people have done a version of this song kind of in that style, but none has overtaken, you know, her version. It remains the classic, that's for sure.
Okay, I see Mike Wagner has his hand raised.
I think we talked about this last year too, but I agree with you, Jim. This is a great song. I don't understand why people don't like great songs, but that's on you. if you don't like it, that's fine, of course. But is this kind of the one song that kind of just changed the whole Christmas song thing and like took it to a whole nother level? Is that everybody's else recollection, or is it just me? Like, that's when I became aware of Christmas songs. I know there was in 87 or so, there was that very special Christmas series that started, and then this became like this huge massive hit, you know. But I agree. I think it's a fantastic, fantastic pop song. Those are, I think I said it last year, great pop songs are one of the hardest things to write, and I just think it's fantastic. And I love it too. So I'm with Nick Loss, so I'm in good company.
All right, very good. Thank you, Mike. Mackenzie?
Just to make everybody feel old, I put this in the chat. The song's older than me, and I did not realize that until you just said that. But I also hate it. So I think.
Oh, no.
Well, it's always been around, which makes sense because it's older than me. But it's definitely, it's still very popular. My students were playing it a lot. So since Thanksgiving ended, they decided we can play Mariah Carey now every day, all day. So.
Just wait until you hear how old Jingle Bells is, man. I mean, that was written about the time I was in, I think it was a freshman in high school, I think, when that song was written. So. Let's see here. Any other comments on the Mariah song? All right, then we're going to move it on up. Number 8. That was River by Joni Mitchell. That's off of her Blue album.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, you know, I don't think it's written or recorded specifically to be a Christmas song, but has become associated with Christmas, right, Patrick?
Yeah, absolutely. It was released on Blue in the summer of 1971. And is just, to me, you know, kind of a breakup song. That is set around Christmas time. And the story apparently is that Joni Mitchell was, dating James Taylor at the time. And they went all caroling with the Taylor family, with Joni. And that sort of inspired a little bit of the writing and the melodic creation of the song. So it must have been a pretty good group of carolers. If Joni Mitchell and James Taylor came by your house when they were caroling, like you walk outside, that's pretty good.
All right. Jason Goble has his hand up.
Bill just chimed in with what my comment was going to be. I put this on my list. I think it was 7. And I actually put another song on my list that I'm not sure if it's going to make the list or not. So I won't mention it at this point. And then I immediately thought, is this a Christmas song? And basically, as Bill said in the chat, is this the diehard of Christmas songs? Meaning, you know, I've always been hard and fast that Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. But then I put this song on my list, and really it's got nothing to do with Christmas other than the it's coming on Christmas, we're cutting down trees. It's basically about her end of her relationship. I'm glad, I guess, people consider it a Christmas song. I ultimately came down, you really only hear this song on Christmas. People who have started covering it now are putting it on Christmas albums. So that was my take.
All right. And what do you like about the song, Jason, since it was on your list?
I think it was fresh in my mind based on the thing that Joni Mitchell did this summer with Brandi Carlile at the Newport Folk Festival. So I think that got me rethinking about the song in the middle of the year. And it does have a winter feel of it. I think, in my opinion, I think it's her most beautiful song, I think, at the end of the day, that, you know, it's just her sitting at the piano and singing. And, you know, I think that's what I really like about it at the end of the day.
Even the that opening piano bit sounds very Christmassy.
Yeah, very Schroeder. Also, I found out that this song was number one in the UK on December 27th, 2019. The last number one song of the last decade was a cover of it by Ellie Goulding.
Any other comments on this song?
I'm not really a Joni Mitchell fan. I don't have any problem with her, but I don't really enjoy it. Her voice particularly that much, but I know they're saying it's not a Christmas song, but I would say that piano intro explicitly is quoting a carol, the melody line, which to my mind would therefore make it definitely a Christmas song, just to be contrarian. So.
Well, it must be a Christmas song. It's on our list.
There All you right? go. That settles the debate.
So that the debate is over. All right. Let's move on now. What are we at? Number 7.
I was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years have passed since then, and I've done what I can to be there when a man can't find a friend on the streets of Bethlehem. As the story always said, we were trying to find a bed. It was cold, I was late, and we stood outside the locked gate of the inn until the kindness of strangers let us in to a stable round the back. Little more than a shack, where my sweet mother, meek and mild, and herself only a child, gave her best, then took her rest. Do do do.
All right, that was Nick Lowe. I was born in Bethlehem. Probably not much dispute on whether or not that's a Christmas song. It came out in 2013 on Nick's album Quality Street, a seasonal selection for all the family. All right. Patrick, thoughts on the Nick Lowe song?
Yeah, I love it. I think it's a fantastic composition. As often is with Nick, it's well put together. The words are pretty seamless. And I will say this was the early runaway leader. When we first started tallying up the polls, this one got a whole bunch of votes.
The controversial early voting, the dropping absentee ballots, right, and the drop boxes.
Early voting went to this song. And then, as we'll see, others caught up to it and passed it. But still, definitely got enough to be solidly in there. I'm happy with that. He also has a song called Christmas at the Airport that got several votes as well.
Well, should we hear from the man, Bill Mulligan?
Yes.
I'm a well-known advocate of this song. I just think it's absolutely wonderful. It, to me, the sparse instrumentation, just the guitar and the organ and his voice, which at this point in his life has taken on a timbre all its own. It strikes me as a hymn almost. I could see this being played in a church service, although I was raised in the folk masses of the Catholic Church in the 1970s when they were all hippies playing guitar. So maybe I'm a little more tolerant to that kind of stuff. But to me, it sounds, I mean, it is a religious song, obviously, being about the birth of Jesus. But to me, it sounds like almost a church song. I just think it's wonderful. And right. And as for the voting, most of the votes were probably cast by members of my family. I will admit.
The Mulligan family took over the early voting.
All right. Any other comments on this song? No one. Okay. Okay. Well, where are we going here? Okay. We're going to tomorrow get to numbers 6, 5, and 4.
Cool.
Holiday song countdown 2. All right. And I guess you'll just hear more then. You'll just have to wait. This is like, you know, you got to wait till the next day. You can't open this tonight on Christmas Eve. Wait till tomorrow, Christmas Day. Okay. Stephen, did you have a comment?
Sorry, yeah. I'm sorry, I forgot to unmute there. Sorry about that. No, I was just saying, I wonder if you folks over there get the Quality Street reference in the title of that album. So Quality Street is a chocolate selection that you normally get at Christmas. You get a big, massive tin of Quality Street. You also get other varieties, but it's like made by Nestles, and it's like a traditional Christmas thing that you'd normally have a big tin of Quality Street at Christmas. So Nick Lowe calling his album Quality Street a selection is kind of a joke. If
well, that's great. I didn't know that.
No. Nope. Did you know that, Bill?
I didn't know it when the album came out. Later, I had read that. The thing that's most shocking about that is Nick Lowe joking around about something. But
all right, let's get out of here. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you all with more holiday songs tomorrow. The controversial early voting, the drop-in absentee ballots and the drop boxes, yeah.